We're going to talk about the Free Legal Advice Centre. They held its annual Justice Lecture this week at King's Inn in Dublin, and they were celebrating the 250th anniversary of the birth of Daniel O'Connell. Professor Cullum O'Kaneda delivered the lecture, which was preceded by a reading from the speeches of Daniel O'Connell by actor Stephen Ray. The lecture was titled, Who Values the People's Rights? Holding Fast to Justice, the Rule of Law and Human Rights in the Modern Era. And I spoke to Professor O'Kaneda, and I first of all asked him what Daniel O'Connell would have made of some of the rollback on human rights that we've seen in several countries over the last number of years, including in the United States.
The lecture is organised by FLAC, the Free Legal Aid Centre, to provide essential free legal aid services for poor people and people in need across Ireland. So they do they play an absolutely invaluable role in our legal system, making justice real and accessible for ordinary people. And of course, you know, that's what Daniel O'Connell was very much driven by. I mean, it's 250 years since his birth, and it's a great opportunity to celebrate his legacy. As you say, Jerry, he was the great sort of the great emancipator who liberated Catholics and got Catholics the vote within the British Empire. But he was also an incredible lawyer fighting for the rights of Catholics and others, and a famous barrister who insisted on the importance of making rights real and opening up justice to everyone. And he was also a passionate campaigner and crusader against slavery. He was globally famous in his time for being anti-slavery, for condemning it as a breach of basic rights, and also someone who was against oppression all throughout the world. He was very famous as a great international humanitarian, and he was the great tribute of the people, as he was described at the time.
How do you apply that message in today's world, particularly, Professor Canedo, with what we're seeing happening in the world today when it comes to human rights? And I know what you call it, a pushback or a rollback of people's rights on several fronts in different countries.
Well, you're right, Jerry. We're seeing a very, very substantial rollback on rights. And we're seeing extraordinary things happening in different parts of the world. In the US, you're having people pulled off the streets by immigration authorities on very dubious legal basis. You have US citizens being handcuffed and thrown into jail for interfering with immigration operations. You have people on boats being killed by US drone attacks in the Caribbean.
Effectively, extrajudicial killings, in other words, it looks like at the moment.
Absolutely. No clear legal basis whatsoever, which means it's murder. And also violations of apparent violations of basic war crimes, with attacks coming back on survivors of the original attack. But you're also seeing in different parts of the world, you're seeing an extraordinary rollback of rights. I mean, in the UK, I'm based in University College London. You've had attacks on immigration judges. Two judges were recently forced into hiding, had to leave their homes and are under police protection. You've had major political parties in the UK, the Reform Party, Farage's party, and the Conservative Party are talking about leaving the European Convention on Human Rights and pulling the UK out of it, including Northern Ireland. So you're having these discussions about rollback of rights. And what's interesting in historical perspective is that when O'Connell was launching his great campaigns for Catholic emancipation in the 1820s, rights were really unfashionable then as well. The sort of elite used to say, well, you know, don't worry, we'll run the country. You, the ordinary people, the Catholics, the Jews and others who were also denied the right to vote. You know, you're there to be governed by the people in charge. And O'Connell challenged that and insisted at a time when it was really unfashionable, insisted on the importance of rights and the importance of due process of law. So it's interesting to remember O'Connell's great epic struggles now when we face rights and rule of law being rolled back in all sorts of places all around the world.
It's the time to fight it. The time to do it is when it's unpopular and you get into trouble and none more so than particularly in the United States at the moment. There are people out there who are fighting back, who are protesting, even at the threat of imprisonment.
Absolutely. People are being really, really brave and, you know, trying to stand up to the immigration raids, to the ICE immigration raids. And it's well worthwhile emphasizing how abusive some of these raids, some of these enforcement procedures are. You have horror stories coming out of the US of entirely law-abiding families going to ICE offices to try and regularize their migration status and being arrested for a minor infraction 5 years previously. And suddenly you have a wife, for example, being put on a deportation plane back to Mexico while her American husband is crying outside the courthouse. You've had 18-year-olds snatched at airports on their way to university because of family immigrations. So you're having appalling abuses. And some of those abuses are being directed at people protesting against some of the more egregious tactics being used. You've had members of Congress being handcuffed. You've had extraordinary events, which perhaps aren't getting the publicity they deserve, because with everything that's going on,
so much else happening.
With everything that Trump, all the news and noise that Trump is generating, you know, every day there's 12 different crazy news stories. But some of these very fundamental, very basic violations of rights and due process and rule of law and natural justice are just going beneath the radar because of the nonsense that's going on in every other aspect of life.
Yeah, in the context of it, we've had an era of agreement and foundational agreements between countries in relation to human rights. And like you mentioned, the rollback that we're seeing in the last hour, it's being reported Russia's Supreme Court formally removed the European Convention on Human Rights and the European Court of Human Rights from its legal framework. Is that not surprising, I suppose, given what Russia has engaged in Ukraine? But is that kind of demonstrating this kind of era we're in of the return, the abandonment of law, particularly international law, but the return of kind of a might is right view of the world from several of the world's biggest countries?
Absolutely. That's exactly what's happening. I mean, the Russians are explicit on this. You know, the Russians are saying we don't care about that stuff. What matters is that if we're big and powerful, we can do what we want. But you even hear some of this rhetoric now from the United States. You know, the powerful should take what they want. The smaller people get to just cope with it. And things like international law frameworks, well, they're just something to be dispensed with. You see it in what's been happening in Gaza. You see it in what's been happening in Ukraine. And what's worrying is that this is spreading. I mean, as I already mentioned, I mean, you know, the opposition parties in the UK are talking about following Russia out of the ECHR, including as it applies to Northern Ireland. So this is affecting
a real problem
us
for
directly.
Us. Yeah.
It's going to be a big problem for us.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you think then is how are the legal systems, do you think, both here in the UK, in the US, how are they holding up under the pressure that's being exerted? Like this, judges are enemies of the people. And as you said, you know, even attacks on some judges. And we saw as well, when it comes to war crimes, actions in America impacting the lives of judges in The Hague.
Absolutely. There's some extraordinary stuff happening. The Americans have adopted a very aggressive posture towards judges in the International Criminal Court in The Hague, so much so the court is struggling to function. You literally are in a situation where judges on that court are unable to travel to many countries and are facing individualized targeted sanctions simply for thinking about ruling against Israel in some Gaza-related cases. So you're having individual targeting of judges there. You're having these immigration judges going into hiding in the UK, and you're having what some have described as a whole scale erosion of rule of law in the United States, where the president keeps on, the administration keeps on claiming these really dramatic sweeping powers. They bring up this legal theory, the unitary executive theory, where because Trump was elected, he gets to do everything he wants. And this was regarded as a completely fringe theory 5-10 years ago. And now the administration is applying it everywhere. And judges who try and block some of what the administration is doing, they're having their orders disregarded. The administration is getting around their orders. They're using a Supreme Court that's very politically favourable to them to sidestep some of these rule of law constraints. And we're seeing real erosion of basic democratic first principles.
What can people do? What should people do? What's your message for people in whatever country against these issues?
Well, I think people need to... I think realize that bad things are happening, and it's not just happening in places like Russia and China. I mean, for the last 30, 40, 50 years, we've sort of, ever since the fall of the Berlin Wall, we've got used to liberal democratic countries in the West being generally okay in terms of how they function. But now we're seeing total rule of law breakdown in certain aspects of US law and policy. We're seeing real erosion in the UK and other countries. We're seeing what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Ukraine. We are seeing all of this stuff, this crumbling. And people, I think, need to be aware of it. People need to realize what's happening. People
maybe
need
pay
to be
attention
talking.
Who you vote for in an election.
Absolutely. Listen very carefully to what people are saying. People need to get on to their politicians. Ireland can actually play a role in that. We're a small country, but we've traditionally punched above our weight in diplomatic circles precisely because we have a very good record of advocating for rights and democracy, you know, the Council of Europe and the UN and so on. So people can emphasize this. When you're talking to your elected representatives, say that to them. Mention how important this is, because we can play a role in this thing. We don't have to be just passive observers as things go to hell. We can actually play a very important role in pushing back against some of this with allies and partners elsewhere. And that's an incredibly important thing to say to elected representatives.
Okay. All right, Professor Kaneda, thanks so much for taking time to talk to me this morning.
No problem at all, Jerry. Thank you very much.
That's Professor Colm Kaneda there, who is who gave that lecture on the 250th anniversary of Daniel O'Connell's birth on human rights and the rollback on rights.